Welcome to Horsefly Chronicles Radio with Julia and Philip Siracusa. Sponsored by Carnation. Airing live on United Public Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM in New Orleans. This show's opening has been produced, edited, narrated by Gwen Luckett at gluckett.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Siracusa, and Philip Siracusa. We are broadcasting live from the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 FM and 107.7 FM from New Orleans. We are fully sponsored by Carnation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. We love them. We'll have to do a few things in order to participate in chat. Go to our YouTube page, UFO Paranormal Radio on... UFO Paranormal Radio, UFO Paranormal Radio. Go to all of our Facebook stations, UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, News on the Flip Side, Horsefly Chronicles, all of those platforms, and SoundCloud, Podbeam, Twitch, and all of those platforms where you can watch podcasts. So guys, tonight we want to welcome back to the show Rich Valdez. He has been investigating the paranormal for 39 years and has been trained by three churches, recognized by two religious demonologists for 36 years. He is the resigning demonologist of the United States Old Catholic Church, presided over Bishop James Long. He's been featured on the TV shows A Haunting and featured as a regular cast member for Eli Roth's Presents the Legion of Exorcists. He's also the co-host for Greetings from Beyond Radio, which airs every Wednesday night at 6 EST. So let's welcome him to the show.
Welcome.
Welcome him back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hi.
Appreciate it.
Second time around is always a treat.
There's been a little, they always say that, yeah. Just a little change, and that was my bad. Now I'm once again the host for Greetings from Beyond Radio. So it's all good.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Sure. I started it off by myself and might as well finish it off by myself. Right. So it is what it is.
Wow. All right. Lots more work for you. That's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Great. So for anyone that may not know you, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got started, just a little bit to get it going.
Paranormally speaking or demonology speaking?
Both.
Paranormally speaking, when I was 15, I had an out-of-body experience. I thought I was dreaming, but it wasn't a dream. And when I got to where I was in what I thought was my dream, I realized I wasn't dreaming. Since my family was a very conservative, you know, Christian religious family, they thought everything was demonic. And I was like, this wasn't demonic. There was nothing harmful in this. But they insisted that it was. So I started going to the library, the public library, and I started looking in the areas where they had books on ESP, paranormal type books written by Ed and Lorraine Warren, Hans Holzer, you name it, all the classics. And that's when I started learning more and more about the paranormal. When about a month before I turned 18, my pastor actually approached me and he said, Rich, since you were a kid and now going into adulthood, I've always noticed you've had a kinship for anything, angels and demons and whatnot. I think you should study to be a demonologist. So I had never heard of the term. I asked him what the hell's a demonologist? And he explained it to me. And he said, this is not something that you take lightly. This has to be a calling. So pray about it. Get back to me and let me know. And then when you turn 18, we'll start your training if you decide to. And I took about a week and I told him, yeah, I'll do it. And waited until after my birthday. I'd say about a week after my birthday. And he said, okay, now you're done with all the, you know, childish stuff. Time to be an adult. And he started training me. And I've been recognized for better part of 17, gonna give or take 17 years with Jesus Fellowship Church as their resident demonologist. And then back in 2010, Bishop Long reached out to me. He knew of me and offered to train me to be a religious demonologist for the old Catholic faith, which I had yet to study. That took about 4 or 5 years, and I finally got recognized, and I'm now the resident demonologist for the United States Old Catholic Church.
Wow. Okay. So, you know, we had you on in January. What have you been up to since then?
What have I not been up to? Basically, cases, the Paranormal Clergy Institute has been growing exponentially. It's to the extent now that I'm pretty much running 4 or 5 cases a day, having to check with the teams. And the way the Paranormal Clergy Institute works is that we get cases sent to the clergy. We post it out to the teams that work with us. Those teams actually go out and investigate on the behalf of the clergy. They report back what they find, if there is anything to capture. And then afterwards, we go from there, and we decide as clergy whether it's demonic or not. If it's not demonic, we leave it alone. We let the team handle it. If it's considered demonic, clergy comes in and takes over. Okay. We've always believed that the paranormal and theology have nothing to do with each other, and it should stay that way. But we also feel that in case a paranormal team does happen to come across something that is considered demonic, they're not trained to be theologists, clergy. So hand it over to clergy, let them take over. And that way, the complaints that we've heard for many, many years, that teams or individuals that go to church and ask for help and the church turns them away, I applaud Bishop James Long for having come up with the concept and the idea of the Paranormal Clergy Institute to where he doesn't turn anyone away.
Wow.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. That's what he does. That's why I've been with him for 14 years, and I'll continue to work for him.
You know, you've been doing this a while, and you're a great guest, and that's why we wanted to have you back on. And I'm interested in the work that you do. And, you know, with today's day and age, all the horrific stuff going on around the world, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Do you think it's part of this oppression of negative energy and possibly entities causing the effects of what people are doing and mass numbers?
Well, I'm not one of those screaming demon satanic kind of guys, but I think that the environment that we're living in nowadays, with social media pretty much controlling fads and whatever we call popular nowadays, is unfortunate. But yeah, it's taken over. It really has. And it's a shame, because there's so many people out there that are doing this all the time. And all you have to do is go on TikTok for a little bit, and you can see the influence that TikTok has. Someone does something ridiculous on video and they get like, what, 100,000 hits. Someone puts something meaningful on TikTok and you're lucky if you get up to the 40s.
Yep. Horrible.
Yeah.
It's true. And you see where that's changed. And, you know, I remember hearing way back in the day, the devil will control the airwaves. I remember hearing that back in the 80s, that this was going to happen. And it's a far reach, and I can see what you're saying is true, and it is happening in a way where people are getting likes and views for the most ridiculous things, and some of these things are just bizarre. And you said, why? What is mankind turning into? And then I look at, I'm a paranormal investigator.
Yeah.
I'm not a demonologist, but I know they do exist. And I'm saying, is it the presence of all this negative oppression taking effects right now? You know, I mean, on top of everything else going on around the world with the climate destructions and that are just ridiculous. And you look at the time and frame that we live in, and unless you live under a rock, you can see what's happening with the earth itself.
Yeah.
And there's a shift happening. I mean, what was it, a month ago? We had a minor earthquake in Pennsylvania in the Northeast. Where'd that come from?
And, you know, people tend to give a lot of energy to end time events and what.
Right.
There's still, having researched, especially Revelations, there's still a lot of prophecies that need to take place before the end times. Where I'm not saying we're not close. We are. But I wouldn't say we're there yet, just yet.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of what's going on nowadays is people are just going about their lives with reckless abandon. They're not really thinking about the consequences of the things they say, the things they do. The influence is predominantly, it's quick gratification nowadays.
Yeah.
People just want, I call it the fast food generation. Yeah, I want a number one and a Diet Coke, just so that you don't feel that guilty as you're eating your number one or number two on the menu. But in reality, you're still harming your body. And the inundation of all this self-gratification, social media, you need to entertain me now or I'm going to go watch someone else and you'll lose ratings. People are placing way too much emphasis on ratings and not enough on quantity versus quality. And that's a shame. I think it really is. It's beginning to reflect where people have gone as of these days.
I agree with that. And it feels like it's a now society building on sand, not stone, which eventually will crumble.
Exactly.
Because if the internet did go down, if there was that case, a lot of people will go broke very quickly.
I agree.
I mean, it's happened before when we had a crash. I mean, it wasn't that long ago when Facebook crashed.
No, we're talking like a major like out, you know, and the whole transcend of times. I'm looking around and like you said, TikTok, right? You know, there's just so much stuff. Now let's get into this Thursday, the Vatican is making an announcement. Maybe you're aware, maybe you're not aware.
I don't get the news. I'm sorry. So if they did, I didn't hear it.
Yeah, it's on the news, regular news stations, that the Vatican's going to talk about what people should do if they see apparitions. I find this even more mind-blowing now. Where is this coming from? It's out there, and it's this Thursday. So we're in this time frame that we think we know so much, but we know so little. And it seems like the Vatican and the government, they put out leaks of information to society, things they already know, that are already behind the closed doors, that maybe they feel like the public cannot know. So it slowly comes out, right? So that there's no like that no shock. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, you haven't heard of it, but the fact is they're going to be talking about what people should do if they see apparitions.
Call a paranormal team that's well reputed. You know, do your research. Don't provoke if you see an apparition. If I was the Vatican, at least that's what I would say. I would be fascinated to hear what the Vatican has to say when it comes to if you see an apparition in case of break glass, you know what I mean? I'd like to hear their take, but unfortunately I don't have cable right now and I'm sure I'm going to miss it. I'll have to ask you, Phil, and Julia, because this is the first I hear of that. I tend to be.
I didn't know either.
This is the first I hear of it. To be honest with you, to answer the rest of your question, when it comes to the Vatican religion, let's just say religion, all around religion, when it comes to politics, I'm one of those that I don't trash anyone's political affiliation or religious affiliation in any way, shape, or form, because I'm not the person to do it. Because the way I see it, if someone comes to me for help and they are Buddhist, but they have a question that is related to Christianity, I'm not going to say, oh, no. You're a Christian. You're not a Christian. You're a Buddhist. Go away. Same thing goes for, you know, Republican, Democrat, Independent. I don't give a crap what they are. As long as they're coming to me and asking for advice, I don't care what their political affiliation is. What I think has made and put a huge magnifying glass on all these subject matters, which we did not have back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, because I was born in 1969, was social media as it is nowadays. Nowadays, all you got to do is pick up a phone and you got your news. That's it. I remember back in the day, you had to run home after playing football with your friends and drinking water out of the water hose, you know, which is not allowed. And it's really, oh, no, don't do that.
We did it. We all did it, but we're still here.
We're still here. work the antennas that you use with, they call them rabbit ears, but we were so poor, I actually used clothes hangers. And, you know, just so I could get a good signal for NBC or ABC or CBS, because there weren't like how many channels are out there? 5,000 channels, something like that. We didn't get that. I remember when my friend first got cable and it was on TV. Does anyone remember that? On TV. And
it was amazing. Remember that.
Yeah.
I remember WHT. That was back in the 70s. If you had money, you had that. That was like a little converter. If you had money, you had WHT. I remember that. But listen, I was born in 67. I drank out of a garden hose. We're Generation X, obviously. We survived things that people will never even think about surviving today if they had to go back in our day and age with the landline, with the cord, and you get with the rotary phones and all that stuff. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm hearing it. I see the way it's all changing now. And it's interesting and scary at the same time, because there's no, people don't care. There's no fear anymore into what people do. And it makes me think, knowing as a paranormal investigator, the possibilities, okay, I could tell anybody, look, this stuff is real. Plain and simple, I can't explain everything. Nobody has all the answers. We're not God, but it's real. That's what we do know. Yeah. There are negative entities. There's negative oppression. There's also good spirits, of course. It goes along with intent and the location and all that other stuff, but we do know that it's real. And now the land, I feel like the land is so much chaos going on around the lands, especially the United States, that it's a free-for-all. And once in one aspect, it's become like, look, New York City, they're punching people in the face for fun now. To get views.
Oh, yeah. They've been doing that for actually, 16 years? It started, come to find out, where kids would just record this just for fun. They'd go to the homeless camps and they would actually punch a homeless person in the face, even beat them to death, and record it and put it on YouTube. So wow. I hate to say it, but it's almost like, where's the soul? of this country. It's gone to hell, pretty much.
Yeah. I agree with you 1,000%. Right, Joel?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to some people in chat. Beth Allen.
Hi, sister.
That's your sister?
Oh, no. Yeah, but I call her sister.
Okay, he's son. Hi, Julia and Philip. Hello. 1969. I can relate, yeah.
But the time and the transition that everything's going into and the work that you do, okay? Mm-hmm. And we talked about, you know, do you feel this negative wave? And of course, not everything is a demon or you know, that's based on beliefs and all that. But we do, though, there's negative entities, period, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a resolve into individual people and cases? Because one of the questions as an investigator I get asked, okay, I don't remove demons, so is, look, where does it go? You go to a home, you do an exorcism, whatever you do, deliverance and bless the home, where does it go?
Yeah.
Where does it go? Does it go to a make-believe land because you believe that that's where it's going? Or does it actually go somewhere where the person is free of that particular hold?
There's a scripture in the Bible that speaks of when a demonic spirit is exorcised or removed from its host. It states that it goes on to dry places and it's seeking refuge. When it finds no refuge, it comes back from whence it was removed, and it sees that it's been swept clean. So then it leaves again and comes back with seven more wicked than it to take over that host. And that's one of the many dangers. I've often stated that one of the most unsafe locations to actually investigate, believe it or not, happens to be abandoned locations.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes, I'm not saying all, you know, abandoned locations becomes Beetlejuice demon hotel or anything like that. I'm simply saying that that is where they can actually take refuge and rest. And oftentimes people seem to be like, oh, it's abandoned, whatever. It's a spirit of whoever died here. They hung here. They killed themselves here. Oftentimes, those abandoned locations become a breeding ground. They can. I'm not saying all of them. They can become where they go to. And oftentimes, that's why there's attacks that happen in abandoned locations. And it's a theory that I've held for many, many years. And I've been proven right every single time, because that's usually where people go. Is, you know, they go to an abandoned location, they investigate, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. But at the same time, I don't think everything is demonic either. I'm one of those that I need to test everything. I need to look at the symptoms. I'm kind of like, I'm not going to call myself a doctor, but I'm going to use a doctor as an analogy. If, let's say, Julia, you and Phil, you come to me and you both say, hey, Rich, we've had this headache for a month and we can't get rid of it. We think it's a brain tumor. I'm like, okay, well, why don't we run some tests and find out? You know, I want to send you out for a CT scan and this and that. And the two of you immediately, you've already convinced yourselves it's not anything. It's just this, it's a brain tumor. I'm like, well, let's make sure. You're just assuming. And you know what they say about people that assume, right? So I keep suggesting this and you keep saying, no. You either agree that it's a brain tumor or not. Well, if you're going to be like that, I can't tell you it's a brain tumor because you're not letting me give you those tests that I need to do. And then you leave me and you go to like 50 other doctors until you find that one quack that says, yeah, you got a brain tumor. All right, let's do operation. Next thing you know, you're both dead on the table. Or I'm sorry, on alive. That's yet another word we can't use on the air anymore. We can't use the D word anymore. So I have to say on alive.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. We have to play psychiatrist. you have to play doctor, and you're absolutely right about that. It's funny because I always say that. We have four boys, and they would always fight, and we live in a haunted house. And I would always say, you have to play psychiatrist. Like, are they fighting because, well, they're boys and they fight, or is it something else? You have to really dig deep into that, and it's not always easy to do.
Depending on what may be in your home, if it's a negative entity, and if you have two teenage boys, we've all been teenagers at one time. You know, your hormones are raging and going everywhere. One minute you're happy, the next minute you're ticked off at the world. Yeah. What we need to realize is that they're prime, I'd say targets if there is a negative spirit there. And by negative spirit, I don't mean a demon.
Right.
It could be a really nasty spirit in life. So it will be in death, and they like to push your buttons. So we have to always be aware of our surroundings and exactly what's happening at all times.
But how do we know that? That's a thing I keep hearing over and over again. Well, if you're bad in the physical realm, then you can be bad in the spiritual realm. How do we know that?
Depending on your faith. And I don't know what both your faith is, but what I would do with the permission of whoever I'm coming in to help. If I know they are of the Christian faith, I will actually do what is called testing the spirits. And that's simply a series of a bunch of verses that you use and it is a form of provocation. It's called religious provocation, and only trained clergy or lay should actually perform this. You yourselves, you could do this too. Say, look, why don't we just test this? You can do the Our Father prayer, the St. Michael's prayer. You can do Psalms 23. It doesn't matter what you do. But if you notice that things are picking up, lights are flashing, you may want to stop, because you know that what you're dealing with is no longer human. It's inhuman.
We know that.
So you're saying that's interesting. So you're saying that the certain prayers may affect, if it is an entity, it'll start to trigger the electricity and things to that nature. That's very interesting that he said that, because in 2013, I was playing that song, Ave Maria. I was up alone. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. So I don't even know why I was playing it. I have no clue. Something in my mind just says to play it. So I'm playing it. It's a beautiful song, of course. And we have this huge chandelier in the foyer. And it starts swaying back and forth, which is impossible to do unless there's movement on the earth. And I'm like, whoa, I just stopped playing and ran to bed, but I wasn't getting. And now you're saying that it's interesting. So was it a trigger to say, don't play this song?
Oftentimes when I go in to do a walkthrough, it's religious provocation. And if there's something demonic there, I usually ask everyone to actually step outside. I'll walk in with maybe someone else that is trained and they know how to protect themselves, so they can record everything on video. And I had one particular case where as soon as the family stepped outside and they went to the front yard, I went in with someone else on my team that was religiously and spiritually prepared. We had actually prayed the night before and the that evening before as well. And I just went in saying Psalms 23. And as soon as I started, I'd say within 2 minutes, lights started flashing. Uh-oh. Plates started falling. You had a chair that kind of like, it was like this, and then it went like that towards me. And that's how I knew that what we were dealing with was something inhuman. It was warning us, continue doing this, it's going to get worse. That chair that just went, I'm going to pick it up and throw it at you. Those dishes that just fell, I'm going to throw them as frisbees to you. Those lights, the light bulbs are going to explode. But that's how I tested the spirits. Now, oftentimes we also need to discern between, is this demonic? Is this a nature spirit? Is this something else altogether? Maybe it was in life, it wasn't a human that didn't like religion, didn't like faith in God or anything like that. there's many other things that I really can't go into due to my training and oath that I took to the church that we can do to test that as well to make sure. Because oftentimes what a lot of people don't seem to understand, they hear the story of Lucifer falling to earth with a third of heaven with him, but they tend to forget. And this is social media. Let's go back around. Okay, Phil, to social media. Everyone thinks that Lucifer is this red horned devil with a tail swinging around, living in hell with all the demons. He fell to earth and those fallen angels fell to earth with him. So that means he's on earth. He's not in hell. So oftentimes people think, oh, they're going to send the demon to hell. With all actuality, that's not the case. The way I've been trained to actually do liberation is you send it before the throne of God, and God is the one to judge as to where that demon, if it is a demon, is to be sent in the first place.
That's fascinating. And just to back up what you're saying, I remember we had NESPR here. We had Dan Rivera here, and just back a few years ago, and then he was saying a prayer in my dining room. I'll never forget this. They were all there, the whole team, and every light bulb went so bright, you almost had to close your eyes as he sang the prayer. And then all of a sudden it went away, and lights went back to normal. And it's interesting, but it's fascinating to me. It's fascinating. And again, to the listener, I know some of this stuff is hard to believe. And look, I'm a New Yorker. I got a hot head. I don't believe nothing till I see it. I don't care who you are, but it's real. It's unless there's a scientific explanation behind when we think something, I don't know. But I know what I've seen. I know what I experienced. And it just validates what you're saying, too. And...
Well, I'll ask you both this question. Have you ever seen oxygen?
Oxygen? No, not that I could say.
Or the atom?
No.
But you know what the atom can do if it's split. You know that if you don't breathe oxygen, you die.
Correct.
Yet we have faith that it does exist. Now, correct. Science has proven its existence, but science has also proven the ghost DNA as well a few years back. And I find it fascinating. I think it was last year there was a Congress committee that was created just to prove to have these people that were coming forward with evidence to prove the existence of UFOs and aliens. And this took place on TV. I remember seeing it, and I was
watching that too. Yeah.
I found it fascinating. I'm like, you mean they are amongst us? We're not crazy. Those lights we see in the air and these aliens that we've seen here and there, I personally haven't. I've seen lights in the air, but they brought it forth. And this was on television. This was on CNN.
Yeah.
I think it's fascinating. I watched that whole thing. And I think there's only so much we know, and governments obviously know more, and maybe there's stuff they don't even know. But do aliens exist? Well, I think we're there at that point of humanity. Think it's real. We're not alone.
Well, think about it this way. Ever since the crash in Area,
51.
Area, yeah. 51. Notice the jump of technology all the way till now, because we were like in the Stone Age before that. Okay, then all of a sudden we took leaps and bounds. We went to the moon. We did all this technological advancement. That's just I was about to say that just doesn't happen overnight, but it did after that crash. So it kind of makes you think that was a crash. That wasn't a weather balloon. We all know that.
Yeah.
No, that was a real crash. That's how we got fiber optics. Look at the chip, how much the chip can actually hold. And I agree with you. I definitely agree. Do you think that aliens and demons have anything to do with each other, or it's nothing to do with each other?
No. I think it'd be very, very dim-witted of us to think that we're the only ones in this whole big universe.
Yeah.
You know, it's no. Some have theories that they're extra-dimensional beings. Some think that they are us in like thousands of years in the future. I don't know. I think they happen to be a different race of different beings, and they're from a different planet. Some may be from different dimensions. The possibilities are there for just about all these answers to the questions. The problem is until we can actually, could you imagine, like, it turned out to be like Independence Day.
We were just going to watch that movie yesterday.
I just ruined it for you.
No, we've seen it. We've seen the movie, but yeah, it's a great movie. The first one was great.
So think of it this way. Independence Day happens, and it's not a takeover. No. They're simply visiting. But think of how many people are going to actually look at these aliens and what they really look like, and they're going to be afraid of them because they're different from us. I had a client about 2 weeks ago, and I had to literally just talk her off a cliff. And the way I did it was, ma'am, how do you know it's a demon? And she's like, well, I'm sure it's a demon. I said, why are you contacting me then? Well, you're a demonologist. I'm like, so do you want validation or do you want me to tell you that no? And if I told you no, are you going to go to someone else? And I explained it to her this way. When we were children, that demon, we used to call it the boogeyman. It hid under the bed in the closet. As we grow up and we watch all these horror movies, our mind changes and we evolve. It's no longer the boogeyman. Now it's the demon. So we have to be careful how we apply our psyche to what we're watching, to what's happening around us, or what we believe may be happening around us, because oftentimes it is how we perceive and choose to perceive the world around us and what's happening around us at all times.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I have a question. You know, in the paranormal, I want to get to the paranormal world. There's so many of us that are sick. I mean, every day you see someone else is sick. There's so many sick people in the paranormal field. What do you think is going on? Is it because of what we're doing? Why are we all sick? Why?
Sick in what sense? Like, you know, health-wise, you know.
I mean, yes, health-wise. We're talking cancer, everything, you name it, and no one ever feels good.
Well,
take the tool on you.
I don't think there's any connection. I think whether you're in the paranormal or not, people are going to have cancer. People are going to suffer, you know, but honestly, I think the negative energy that's out there can cause illnesses. And there, God knows there's a plethora of trolls out there. People that are, you know, constantly insulting you for no reason at all. People that are bashing for no reason at all. And it depends on how you choose to either engage or just walk away. I'm one of those that just walks away. I give it no energy. If that person that I don't know just insulted me, or laughed at me or mocked what I do, are they paying my bills?
Right.
I think we spend too much time. Think of it, Julia and Phil. Do we honestly care if someone actually goes on social media and says, you guys are fakes and you're doing this for money? Okay, is that going to pay your bills? It's not going to pay your bills, honestly. To me, I've gotten so much hate mail. I've gotten so many negativity that I think people can actually work themselves into a frenzy of, oh my God, they think I'm fake. Oh my God, they just called me this name. Oh my God. I'm like, oh my God, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? And you can worry yourself sick. I think we've all heard that term before. And I'm just one of those nowadays with everything going on in my life and Julia, you somewhat know about it. I could very easily have been one of those, but I chose not to be that way and just move forward. That's all you can do in the end.
True.
Yeah.
Very true. Don't feed into the negativity. Don't acknowledge it. I think with paranormal investigating and being in the line of work that we do, the truth, there is truth into, like you had said, if you go into an abandoned building, maybe if it's affected by certain oppression or energy that is negative, it could take effect and use the person as a host. Now, what we have learned, and this is a fact, from our own house and having all these teams around the world come to our own location, is that do people get sick through being psychosomatic? Of course, right? Power of thought.
Power of suggestion.
But what we've also learned is that during paranormal investigations, what we cannot rule out is that batteries go dead on the equipment and things get haywire, staticky, and all of a sudden you think you're recording voices and you're recording dead air because nothing is working. And most importantly, the equipment is malfunctioning at a lot of times in locations, right? Mm-hmm. So then we know that there's something doing this. It's not just a coincidence that all of a sudden you're investigating, now my battery went from 100% to 10% in 5 minutes. It doesn't happen unless you're going to the doll store for batteries. So, which don't do that, by the way, people. I'm a victim of that.
Do you remember the battery that had that cat, the black cat on it?
Black cat, yeah.
They still sell that in the dollar store. That's how old I am. Yeah. Nowadays, it's Energizer or Duracell. But
that's really what you mean.
That battery still exists. Go to the Dollar General and you'll find it there. Sorry, I interrupted.
That's amazing, but it's true. And then you say to yourself, whatever's draining the equipment,
drains people.
Yeah.
So there was a time where you hear people say, I have a paranormal hangover the next day. And that's a real thing. Now, I was one of those people that had a paranormal hangover, and I went for blood work because I was out of it for a long time. It wasn't one day. And to come that my vitamin D level was so low, they couldn't figure out why.
Yeah.
So is it the possibilities that when there are negative energies around, that they drain us in such a way where they're depleting us, and we think, well, I'm going to snap out of it, but maybe medically it's doing something to us? Because in the paranormal field, we all have a lot of friends out there, and now look, there's common grounds of cold and sickness and cancer and disease. We get all that. But there's also this percentage that I see that don't feel right after investigations. And then I go back to my own case, my own home, and the teams that were here and the equipment, and I backtrack everything. And if equipment and batteries are affected, and we're affected with a paranormal hangover, then there's a possibility that some of these things, we don't know what they're doing, where they're leeching on like vultures, like a leech, right?
Yeah, they're
sucking the energy out of you, an invisible energy vampire, where now you go into a state of null and void, and I don't want to do anything, and depression, and I've seen this happen once too many times to call coincidence on people that are well known in the field, to know that this is a real thing. So again, I see people come into my home with religion and belief. Mm-hmm. I see people coming with crystals and things that, believe it or not, those were the people that weren't affected. I can't explain it, but we did have one case here where we had Chris Moon here and Denise Garcia, and they were loaded with their crystals and everything. And they did pick up things, but they didn't get affected by it. Is it possible that the crystals absorb the energies like they believe it does? There's so much out there that is, to me, is mind-blowing that we just don't know. But it's real.
Yeah.
I think it's two things. I think that the crystals do help, but I think they'll go after who they think is a threat, too, in a lot of cases.
I agree with you there, both you, Phil, and Julia, we also have to bear in mind that even just everyday normal spirits drain our energy to communicate.
Yes.
In order to come through. They don't have to be bad. They simply need energy. I remember there was this was a few years ago, and I forgot the name of the team, and they were on TV, but they used to use a taser to tase the air.
Huh.
And to electrify the air. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, that's an interesting theory. And then I started listening to psychic mediums that said, I wish people would stop bringing tasers because they're actually hurting the spirits. I'm thinking to myself, they're already dead. How can you hurt them? But I also heard another theory that using infrared hurts them, that you're better off with the multispectrum instead.
Hmm.
Okay.
How do you hurt something that doesn't exist and only exists through the third eye?
That's what I'm saying. I think that no matter what, you're going to have different theories, different people that believe different things. You have to go with what your gut tells you. If you hear, let's say right now, Phil, you heard for the first time, tasing the air is the worst thing you can do. It's going to hurt a spirit. But technically, scientifically speaking, aren't you ionizing the air, making it more electrifying so that spirits can come through? Were we not using EMF pumps not too long ago to put out EMF radiation so that spirits could come through? Then someone else says, oh no, that hurts the spirits. I'm like, wait a minute. So what does and doesn't hurt spirits? Are we spirits ourselves? We don't know. But until I hear it in an EVP or I have a spirit standing in front of me saying, yo, stop tasing the air. Every time you do that, it hurts me. I think we should try to do that just so that we can, you have to remember there's a layer. We're on one side, they're on the other side. It's time to break through the layer. They're always, when we get these glimpses of spirits, it's a glimmer. It's like we're catching a glimpse of them in our, you know, dimension. But how many times have we been the spirits to them showing up in their world and we freak them out?
Like then move what? The others.
Exactly. Exactly. I love using that example because that is exactly the way I see it.
Absolutely. Well,
I agree with that one. It kind of reminds me of that movie, The Entity. That was a 70s movie. And they try to freeze the spirit.
With Barbara Hershey.
Yeah.
That was a real story.
I know. That was
horrible.
That was a true story. That poor woman died. She never got the help she needed.
Yeah.
And she went on for, I think, 30 more years of those attacks and died alone, still being attacked. They never helped her.
Let me ask you this.
Back then, they didn't have the help that, you know, I don't.
Do you believe? Yeah. But is it a belief? Is it a belief that a person can be raped by a spirit? Is it possible? Is it possible? What we're actually saying here, is that possible?
As and I'll quote my mentor Bishop Long, we actually talked about this on my show last week on Greetings from Beyond Radio, and he had a case that he had for 3 years where this elderly woman in her late 60s was being molested. She was being raped. Now, mind you, it's not that they would find any evidence of rape and, you know, something left behind or anything like that. The muscles were being contorted to feel as if she was being raped and ripped apart from within. So the act that we tend to immediately equate to, oh, this is rape, I'm being violated. Because what happens is you're in a sleep paralysis of sorts, and you can't move, you can't defend yourself. But what was happening to this elderly woman was while she was wide awake. So oftentimes what people call incubus, succubus, they're both one and the same. It's just that they adapt. But the act that they're doing may seem sexual to us, but it really isn't. There isn't any evidence that there's been any type of exchange, sexual exchange. It actually ends up being very hurtful. She was, this woman, you know, thank God, towards the end of her life, I think the last year of her life, she was the raping or that happened or that stopped. But she did suffer a lot for 3 years. And what they would find is the doctors could not explain the from according to what Bishop Long told me, it looked like someone took a serrated knife into that area and just back and forth until they sliced her up. That's not sex to me. No. But you know,
I think it's just one of those things that we're never really going to understand. It's like we get more questions than answers.
I'm speechless because I know I've seen the movie The Entity, and I know there's cases out there where people have claimed to be molested by a spirit. And they show some people show bruises and bite marks and, you know, I don't know. I guess it's possible because if we know that you can get scratched by a spirit, I've seen people get scratched right in front of my very eyes and I can't debunk that. I don't have an explanation for that one, you know? So if that's possible, right? Then what else is possible? And then maybe it is possible that what Bishop Long is saying is true, and that other people have said that these are you know, some of these cases are authentic. They're few and far between, thankfully, but maybe there are all these cases, because if it could do a scratch and it could do a fingerprint or an imprint on your skin, I've seen that.
Yeah.
And I've seen bite marks on people. Now, I've seen bite marks where people can't bite themselves, then it kind of makes you think that, what are we dealing with? Are we dealing with an invisible entity that can just do these things? Because it has will, it has the intent of something to do it?
It may have been. Can you imagine if we could actually come across the spirit of Jack the Ripper?
Oh.
Yeah. There you go.
No one's ever solved that mystery. No one ever knew who Jack the Ripper really was. They assume that Jack the Ripper was a doctor and he would actually take it out on the streetwalkers of that time.
Phil, we've had the great-great-grandson, I forget his name, of Jack Ripper on our show. I forget his name. It'll come to me. But
you see, and that's how we keep forgetting. You forgot his name?
Everything.
People, this usually happens in the 50s. When you hear 50s, I almost forget everything. So
I'm not there yet, but I can't remember.
Well, we're just warning you ahead of time, Julia, because
I'll be 50 in August. So, I mean, there.
Then you'll know. You'll know then. And Phil and I already know that. You know, Phil was born, what, 67, if I recall?
Yeah.
I was born in 1969, and we're already there. We're already going downhill. Look at my beard. My beard used to be the color of my mustache. It's now the color of gray. It's like I can actually poke fun with John Zaff, as a good friend of mine now, and say, hey, buddy, look, my beard's gray, just like yours. Next thing you know, my stash is going to go.
You know, when age comes wisdom, right?
True. We're like wine, Phil. We're like wine. Think of it that way.
Yeah.
Oh wait.
It's funny. I watch these infomercials, people saying, don't you want to have a good body this summer for the beach? I laugh to myself. I think it's funny. Like, what am I, 20 years old, 30 years old? I'm 56 years old. Yeah, good body. But these are go to the beach. First, I got to get to the beach, and I find it an inconvenience to drive to the beach because it's so far away. And then if I get to the beach, I'll worry about the beach. Forget about everything else.
Hi, Jen.
I'll make that call first. So if we want the beach party, those days are over.
Hey, Jen. Yes, thank you, my dear. Aged like fine wine.
Dad vibes. Yeah.
But then again, Jen.
I could sell a shirt that says that.
Jen is 37. I'm 54.
37.
So yeah. Wow. She's got a long way to go. She's going to kill me one day. At least I'll die happy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, the team, you were on the show that we found really good. Yeah. What was the name of the show?
Which one?
Eli Roth.
Eli Roth?
Yes. Are you getting a second season?
I don't think so. Travel Channel has pretty much turned their backs on anything paranormal.
Really?
Yeah, they're phasing out of the paranormal. Perfect. Because they were actually bought up by Warner Brothers. We thought it was going to be a merger. It turned out to be a takeover. I guess Warner Brothers has been moving everything that's been done with Travel to Discovery or to Max. So we have yet to hear, because that every producer, executive producer, everyone that used to work for Travel was fired.
Really?
Yeah. We don't know who's gonna, they may start over again. They may not. I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm always open for, I'd love to do a paranormal show instead of just being up there as a theologian talking about demons and possession, which I have plenty of stories of, but my first passion really was paranormal investigating. So I'm always open to paranormal shows as well.
Yeah.
Where are all the shows going to? What platform?
They're Discovery. Either in Discovery Plus or Max.
Or Max. So,
yeah. It used to be HBO Max. They turned it into Max now. So if you want to see it, just go to the Discovery. Or is it? No, Travel. And everything there is paranormal. You'll find it there.
I have to say that it's not just paranormal, but every show that is coming on, they're not coming back. It's like you get one season and that's it.
Yeah, because they're phasing out.
Even that the show we watched a year or two ago, Jewel, 30 days. What was it? 30 days.
Days Haunted. Yeah.
That's on Netflix, though.
Yeah, the Netflix. Yeah. But it's still, it was good. We loved it. It didn't come back. I mean,
here's the thing. The trend I've noticed as of late is that a lot of these shows are going to live stream platforms. So you have in Hulu, great show, by the way, Living for the Dead, great cast, great people, great investigators. My hat's off to them, even though I don't have a hat right now, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You have a grand majority of all the other shows. Like in Netflix, you had 28 Days Haunted. In Tubi, you have Nick Groff's show. What is it? Death Eater or Death Walker, something like that. There's all these shows. Amazon has a plethora of all these paranormal shows. So all these live platforms are beginning to take over nowadays. In where, you know, all the cable channels are beginning to drop all the paranormal shows.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what. If you ever get picked up again on the show, I need to be on one of those shows, and I'll tell you why. You're going to have the hardcore Italian guy, right? Saying, oh, you're possessed? Show me you're possessed. Now, show me. Like, you're going to see the real true Italian from New York come out, and then there's going to be you doing whatever you do. And I think it's going to be the most entertaining thing, because I want to get to the bottom of it. Like, I really want to see what the hell's going on over there. And then here comes the other aspects, and let's get to it. Let's get to the bottom, because guess what? If I don't see it, I don't believe it. That's just the way I am. But paranormal phenomenon does exist, people. So
Phil, when I drag your body out after you go in there and say, prove it to me, and I have to drag your body out and then close the door behind me and then go back in and help the person, and you have the paramedics helping you, I'll come back and I'll tell you what happened. And I'll fill you in.
Oh, my God.
Oh man, this is great. Hey, listen, I went quick already, but
it like always you said, with us.
Really fast.
Oh, did we go quiet?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I just broke up over here, but we're at the end.
Yeah, so where can everybody find you and what do you have coming up next?
To be honest with you, next week we're doing chapter 3 of Trinity Paranormal Investigators of Long Island. They've been working a cold case for 5.5 years on Greetings from Beyond Radio. We've been following along and we've been having everyone join in. You can follow us on Greetings from Beyond Radio on YouTube. Just subscribe and join in. We're actually getting a lot of people helping. And also Everything Rich Valdez Demonologist, that's my fan page. You can find me there as well. So we're just about everywhere. Right now, the only things that I'm working on is Greetings from Beyond Radio, and I'm looking into starting a documentary sooner or later. Okay. With a few people. Hey, it might be you guys. I may have to go over there and pay a visit to your house.
You know, where do you live? What state are you in?
I'm in the state of Florida. I'm in Miami.
Oh, okay. So we're in Pennsylvania. I think that'd be interesting.
I think I'm going to go to Gettysburg Bash this year.
Didn't I just pass?
No, I think it's in late July, Gettysburg Bash. But I may just be going as a patron and saying hello to 90% of the people that are in there and that I know. So that's about it. I'm not going to be going in as talent or anything like that. I just want to go in incognito.
Yeah, we'd love to have you as a guest at the Horsefly Chronicles home just to see what you think and experience. It's like Ralph Sarchi and Bill Bean and all those people around the world that have been here. Though Bill wasn't here, but Bill, I'll tell you one thing before we wrap up the show, talking about ghosts and spirits, he did a prayer over the phone in 2014 for me, and the papers in my office were flying everywhere.
Look at that.
No window. No fan, I will never forget that. That was crazy. So hey, we definitely gotta have you down here, and hasta la vista, we're done.
For sure.
Have a good night. All right, Julie, wrap it up.
We're gonna get kicked off here. Special thank you to Carnation for fully sponsoring the show from day one. Thank you so much. And join us next Monday night on the United Public Radio Network on 105.3 and 107.7 FM from New Orleans. Thank you so much, Rich, for coming on tonight. Thank you, everybody. Pat, Jen, Zizun, everybody that's in chat, thank you for joining us tonight. Have a great night.